coming in on 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to another episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews.
Yeah!
I like being chock full of shit.
That's about it!
Was that recorded?
It's not an episode if you didn't make something up.
And the average for the beer that everybody loves is really high.
I like getting shit on.
All right, welcome to another episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews, a childish podcast about adult beverages. I'm your host, Knox, and with me is the world's worst comb salesman, Big Earn. How you doing, Big Earn?
So that's how this day is going to go.
Yes, sir.
It's a good one, Knox. I'm doing well.
And with me as well is Chris. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good. I'm just a small town dude with a big city attitude. Ask Cher.
Cher, there yeah. We go. And my son, Jordan. How you doing, Jordan?
Good. Good afternoon. I'm ready to get drunk after one shot. Here we go.
All right. Good to see you, kiddo. And I got Chris Larson back on the show again. How you doing, Chris?
How's it going, guys?
We're doing fucking awesome. We're doing pretty sweet. So this is our yearly Father's Day special on scotches that we do. Unfortunately, this week we had to do it a week earlier than Father's Day because we have a lot of parenting things going on. You got hanging out with your daughters next weekend, and
probably
Chris, maybe. You're gonna be a father.
Yeah,
congratulations, my man. This is your first one.
First one coming November, so yeah, the little special Father's Day for me this year.
Right,
that's pretty bad.
Congratulations,
yeah, thank you.
Congratulations, man.
All right, so yeah, being this is the yearly Scotch episodes, Chris, what are we doing this year?
Oh well. Islas, because fuck everything.
So we went from the most famous and the least offensive,
right,
scotch,
aggressive,
to the absolute most aggressive style of scotch.
Yeah, so islas are, you know, fucking, it's love them or hate them kind of thing that I've noticed. A lot of people, it seems like once they get their feet dipped into scotches, once they get into islas and start loving islas. Islas are kind of where most people just kind of, that's where they want to be.
And like, how long does that take? Because,
well, for me, it took a full bottle of Lafroig Select to like islas.
To like scotch.
So, well, because I started, my journey was Glenmorangie Original, right? Sweet and, you know, honey and a little fruity and floral. And, you know, it's just sexy and like almost a dessert. Right,
not
it's
as so, sexy as you, though, big guy.
Fucking right. Mm.
Not with this. those tall pants on.
Not with this inverted Hogan I got going on here. Sweet.
It's too bad you can't see this terrible, terrible facial hair.
Yeah, I get drunk.
Do you need
things.
A comb for it?
No.
Oh, see, you're the world's worst one.
I just bad timing. Wood.
But so I was gifted a bottle of Lafroig Select from PJ and Molly for my birthday one year. And yeah, the first glass, I was like, this is just fucking garbage. I didn't like it at all. But I'd go back to it every couple of weeks. And it took me about 9 months to get through the full bottle. But the last two glasses I had, I wanted another bottle of it. So yeah, drink a full bottle of Islay, and then you'll probably fall in love.
Or fall over.
Right. Both of us. Head don't, over heels.
Please don't drink it all at once.
No, yeah. No,
well.
Yeah.
So scotches are those things where, like you said, there's the different regions and they're so vastly different. So if the only scotch you had was the really heavy peaty one, and it's like, oh my God, all scotches suck.
See,
well,
yeah, because the Islas, you're going to get more medicinal or iodine-y type flavors. The big difference, right? So Islas are going to be like the southernmost islands right off the south, I think, west of Scotland, right? So their characteristics are because of their location, right? So lots of salt water around them, lots of wind, and then they use peat to actually for their heat source, right? When they're drying the barley and stuff like that. So that peat takes on all these different flavors, so you get tons of smoke, you get sea salt and seaweed and limestone and things like that that are imparted into the scotches, and it's because of that location and because they're using peat for their drying and stuff. So yeah, that's what Islas are. They're in your face, they're intense, and they're heavily smoky for the most part. For our Patreon subscribers, after we do today's episode, we're going to do another episode with Brooke Lottie's. And the reason I wanted to do that is they have the Classic Laddie, which is an unpeated scotch. And then we've got a heavy peated Port Charlotte and then an insanely ridiculously peated Octomore. So so almost everything we're talking about on this first episode is going to relate to that next episode too. So that'll be fun. And I also want to shout out to our couple of patron subscribers again, Jayla Swanson and Sam Farrell. Thanks so much for your support. I appreciate
brand new.
It.
Thanks for your money. Thank you very
much, guys. Yeah.
So in case you guys didn't know, we drop two additional episodes strictly for our patrons every month. So,
word, y'all, and more shit coming. We're gonna learn how to video things so you can see this pretty face of mine.
Actually, I foresee like a big circle around your face with like just maybe like a smiley face.
Blur it out,
right?
Yeah,
just
fair enough.
Block.
So yeah, but that's what Islas are, and it looks like they're pronounced Islay. Islay, but yeah, Isla.
Like an island, but without the N-D.
That's right, Isla. So we're going to start out with Ardbeg 5, a 5-year-old wee beastie.
Yes, so if you go to
Actually, and owned by, now, Glenmorangie.
That's interesting. When did that happen?
I don't fucking know, but I was listening to Dr. Bill Lumsdell, and I was drinking with him the other day. Well, he was on YouTube, and I was just watching.
I'm still drinking with us.
We weren't hanging out.
So kind of reminds me like Anson Thorne talks about, yeah, he was hanging with his friends and I'm like, I didn't see anybody over. You go, oh no, we were online. I'm like, so in my head, back in my day when you hung with your friends, you were physically back in my day in the the late 70s, early 80s through, you know, whenever now. You know, hanging with the friends was in the backyard or somebody's backyard or out in the park or outside somewhere physically hanging out. And nowadays that means you might not even see them. You're right. Just hanging out online, talking to them or playing games together with them or whatever. So it took me a while to realize that, you know, in my head, that's not hanging out. Well, maybe to me it's not, but the newer generations, that's how they hung out. Especially with, you know, what's been going on the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. And that was the only way you could hang out, air quotes.
Now, you mentioned not being able to see him hanging out with him. We just did something that people couldn't see here.
Yeah, I noticed that you guys also did it.
Yeah, yeah. So why don't we explain that, Chris?
Every first whiskey I have for our bourbon or whiskey episodes, I like to do that. So,
Chris. Yeah. Mr. Miyagi?
If you spill things on your hands, or you can just pour it into your hands, get that alcohol in your hands, and then a good big clap, and rub it in your hands, and then smell your hands. What happens is that alcohol kind of fades off, and you're left with just
the grain.
Just the grains and that, so you can get a much better nose on it. Mm-hmm. Just make sure you know.
Don't spill too much.
Don't have weird shit on your fucking hands.
And if you ever go to a distillery and do a tasting, smell my finger. They'll often do that for you, and they'll show you like how to do that properly and how to, you know, rub your hands and then smell it and everything like that. It's very common at a distillery tasting.
No, it's not. It's not Superstar.
Hands in your armpits.
Mary Catherine Gallagher. Yep. It's not that.
Oh, okay, well. I'm still learning. Yeah!
All right, so getting back to the podcast here. Ardbeg Wee Beastie, 5 years. So if you go to ardbeg.com/English, Ardbeg Wee Beastie, it's a monster of a dram. Ardbeg Wee Beastie is the latest permanent expression to join the distillery's ultimate range. At just 5 years old, Wee Beastie is a feisty young creature with a formidable taste. Something big and smoky. So their whiskey creators set out to make the rawest, smokiest Ardbeg ever. The result is Ardbeg Wee Beastie, and this tongue-tingling, beautiful, smoky dram is the youngest Ardbeg we've ever made. On the snout, intense aromas of cracked blacked pepper. I've never seen blacked. Black pepper, but so not
far,
blacked.
So far, so good, Knox.
Yeah. Mingle with sappy pine resin and a sharp tang of smoke. Suddenly, an explosive mouthfeel bursts forth with chocolate, creosote, and tar. Savory meats sink into the palate before the long, salty mouth coating finish slinks away. I had to move the fucking mouse. Okay.
Next page.
Mouth coating finish slinks away, revealing the inner beast of this Isla icon. Young and intensely smoky, this is a dram untamed by age. Matured in ex-bourbon and Oloroso sherry casks, Wee Beastie is perfect for enjoying neat or as the mouth-watering main ingredient in a powerfully smoky cocktail. Non-chill filtered at 47.4%.
I like their choice of language there. They emphasize young and untamed to just like, you know, this is going to have some bite.
it's literally the words of a middle finger. We missed it, little fuck.
Oh, you missed that. Yeah, the first sniff alerts you to a nearby presence. Heightened senses are filled with very bright, fresh herbal notes with creeping hints of vanilla and
pepper. How about we do this part?
All right, fuck you then. All right, what do you got? Instantly smoky, right?
Yeah.
But not like a campfire smoke, something.
No, it's a little more mellow. It's not like slappy in the face.
It's not as intense as a lot of Islas, maybe.
No, you do get that medicinal smell a little bit.
Yeah.
But some people call it the Band-Aid smell.
Yeah.
Band-Aids.
But
glass very well.
Salty. You know, it feels like you're on a beach.
Yeah, I do get a lot of that salt.
Yeah, cold beach. It's night. It's there's wind.
It's partly cloudy. The wind's coming from the southwest.
It's very pale in color. I like that. And I already have a little bit of that, and it's non-chill filtered, so I got a little globule of fat in there that I really like. I'm going to,
globule.
So I think that pale color is, because it only sits in the barrel for 5 years. It doesn't really pull a whole lot of color from the barrel after 5 years.
Woo! Yeah, and they're second-use barrels, right? Yeah, bourbon, you know, instead of new barrels. So typically scotches are sitting in there for... you know, at least a decade.
Yeah. But this is definitely the youngest scotch on the table, for sure.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to bring it here after putting some thought into it. I wanted to kind of...
Initially, you wanted to get the Ugaval or the...
Ugadal.
Or on Oa.
Yeah.
Or Oa on whatever the fuck.
But yeah, I thought it would be cool to start with a 5 year, then we're doing a 10, 12, 16 and stuff. So,
and this is a $35 bottle of scotch.
I don't know. You just bought it.
Yeah, I forgot. I didn't
memories.
I didn't put the goddamn price gun.
Very approachable as a price point, I would say.
Yeah. You can get a bottle of this if you can find it very easily out of your wallet, no problem. I mean, I would drink this over Dewar's White Label any day. Even though it's an Islay.
So, yeah, it's a, I like this. I think it's nice and salty and briny. And there is a little bit of rough edges and a little bit alcohol-y in the back end.
Yeah, but it's not super intense.
But no, not terrible.
It's not
so bad either. And at 47.4. It would make a really great like penicillin cocktail or something like that. You know, you could really mix with this at $35-$40 a bottle or whatever it is.
And for me, it doesn't even taste like... It tastes like it's more expensive than $35 just because I'm so used to that high school shit.
Yeah, I mean...
Which you're not in anymore, by the way, right?
Has a lot of character for the price.
Absolutely.
Wow, this actually is not too bad. I get a lot of that... I get some heat right away and that peat smokiness, a lot of smokiness, but then it mellows out pretty quick and then I get some sweetness. Mm. I mean, I get... I don't like...
It almost seems it's got a little bit of corn in the grain because it's that sweet, but there's not. It's a single malt.
Apple.
Honey glazed ham lurking in the background. I don't know about the ham, but I definitely get the honey glaze.
Maybe the little saltiness of the pork, like that, with some sweetness.
Sure. Yep, I definitely get saltiness. But yeah,
antiseptic lozenges. Ham. Yeah, look at this. A powerful blast of eucalyptus thrashes about with antiseptic lozenges. Yes, I get that antiseptic lozenge.
Yeah. It like numbs your tongue a bit.
Yep.
Nice little tinglies to them.
I didn't taste much of that chocolate, though, honestly.
Usually when they're
point. I don't get any that either. So, Jordan.
I added a little water, and I got a little bit more of the depth of the chocolate flavor from that. But and a little bit of that creosote. That, yep. Oily, fiery kind of.
So just in case our audience doesn't know, which I didn't, creosote, defined, is a thick, oily substance left over by fire. It not only causes foods to become bitter, but it numbs the tongue when you eat it. If you have ever left a plate of barbecue with a numb feeling on the tongue, it is because of creosote built up on the meat.
Get the fuck out of town.
There you go.
I kind of like it with a little bit of water. Kind of takes a little bit away of that burn.
Yeah.
But doesn't really take away much of the flavors.
No, and I felt it even opened up some of that chocolate and that like I said, that creosote, that like fiery flavor.
Kind of, I think adding water takes some of the legs away.
It doesn't for linger sure.
Yeah. Nearly as long, but yeah, I don't mind that.
If you guys were going to rate this on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5
zero
being
five.
The best,
0 to 5,
it won't get a 0.
Every week.
I know, folks. I'm a piece of shit.
I like this with water.
We're doing quarter increments. Yeah. What would you rate it?
I would rate this one probably a good solid 3. Well, let's do 3.5 out of 5. It's above average by a good one point, which I appreciate. But, you know, I think there's better stuff out there.
I don't know. I think for the price point, you get a lot of bang for your buck for your price. I'm going to give it a solid 3.75.
You would if you would follow the directions and go in the counterclockwise direction?
We didn't tell him.
I know we didn't.
That was our fault.
All right,
was our fault.
That was my fault.
But if it happens again, it's on you.
Yes.
You have been warned.
Yes.
So 3.5 Knox?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to at least 3.75.
Hi, Chris.
3.25. Yeah, 3.25.
And Jordan, you said what again?
3.75. It's good for the price point.
I'm going to come in at 3.75 also because of the price point. It's pretty rare you find a scotch that has this much character. Absolutely. For under 40 bucks.
It's a good one. I like it.
So the average for the
Ardbeg.
Ardbeg.
Wee
Beastie. Is 3.60
average,
out of 5. So
yep. So that this can go anywhere between online like $45 right now, but I know I got this for under $40.
Not bad for the price point at all.
It's still nice one. Still it's warms up your heart and your belly.
Absolutely.
Yep. And I did get this one at Bridgeview Liquors.
Dude, now, it gets in your guts for sure.
Thank you, Bridgeview.
When you get in my guts, you care a little bit.
That's damn right.
All right, this next one. So we went from a 5-year now. Now we're going up to a fucking whopping twice as old and a 10-year. This is the
I cut my teeth on Laphroaig Select. So this is my first bottle of the Laphroaig 10. And I think I also sampled some Laphroaig like Triple Wood or something my buddy Stefan had. And that took us a fucking long time to finish that fucking bottle too. Because, yeah, that was our... Those were our two intros into fucking Islas.
How old was the, excuse me, the Laphroaig Select?
I don't know. Not sure.
I think that the Select is a no-age statement, so it's probably a blend of different aged barrels.
All right, ladies and gentlemen out there, neighbors, if you go to Laphroaig.com.
Laphroaig. How do you want to say it now?
I'm just saying it how it's spelled.
That's how I would have said it.
I'm saying it like it's spelled. Laphroaig. Or, as you say it normally,
Laphroaig.com.
Go there 10 year. It's 40% ABV. So it's aged for 10 years and distilled following the traditions laid down over the last 200 years by a succession of passionate and skilled master distillers. This is a classic single malt scotch made from malted barley, which is first cold smoked and then dried over a peat fire. The smoke from the unique Islay peat gives Laphroaig its particularly rich flavor. This peated whiskey is renowned for its bold, smoky taste, followed by a hint of seaweed and surprising sweetness. Full-bodied with a long finish, it truly embodies the quintessential Laphroaig character. It's the quintessential Islay malt with flavors of peat, smoke, and salt. It's distilled the same way today as it was at creation over 75 years ago, and it's got hints of seaweed and sweetness. It's also the 2019 San Francisco World Spirits Awards Gold.
Cheers.
It's not that time yet.
Oh.
I agree, though. There's a lot of sweetness when you throw your nose in the cup. It's surprising. It's,
I don't get as much.
This one is always deceiving because you don't smell the depth of the smoke and the peat when you're smelling this one.
Yeah.
You get a lot of the sweetness on the nose.
It attacks your fucking mouth, dude. It's stealthy like a fucking ninja. Yeah. Scottish ninjas!
I don't get as much saltiness on the aroma on this, maybe.
Agreed.
I would agree.
But yeah, definitely the peat's smokiness.
Yeah.
More earth, wind, and fire.
Right.
All right, so this also has water from the legendary Kilbride stream. And the malted barley is cold smoke and the dried over fire fueled by the Islay peat. Which we already said that.
And this one to me, okay, it smells like it's been aged longer, right?
Yeah.
It's more refined. It's softer. It's not as aggressive on the smoke to me or the peat. Like on the nose, right?
Yeah. Yes. And I think that is because it's not necessarily that the peat is less. It's just that the malt is sweeter and higher. Absolutely. In the nose.
Yeah, and I would say probably the longer barrel age. Yeah, the extra 5 years in oak probably does it some
it's,
good.
It's calmed down those other things, and you're getting more of that wood sweetness and those different characteristics come out through the nose.
It's a little bit darker. I do get some more. I do have a little bit more of that, those fatty globules in this one. So, again, thank you for not being cold filtered. And legs on this one are extremely long.
Surprising, too, because this is actually 7.5% less alcohol by volume than the last one. But the legs seem to be bigger.
And you're going to find that, or what I've found, most scotches are like 40, 43, 46%, right? Yeah. Where we have all, you know, as a bourbon snob, you know, we're always like, give me that 120 proof, that 130 proof.
Give me that cast shit.
Now you're like, 86 is good on a fucking scotch, man. It's just, to me, it's such a more approachable. Drink it straight and neat and just sit down and chill the fuck out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Still, it's still got that.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Where it's a little bit of medicinal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not as bad. It's got more of that maltiness, that malty sweetness in it.
It's sweeter than the first one.
Yeah.
By a landslide.
Definitely more barbecue smoke. Ooh, though, on that
yeah.
One.
Just that creosote that we were talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's
different.
Delightful, actually. Oh, by that. Then you get a little bit more smoke at the end.
You do. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I might get, and I know I didn't even see it on this one, but I almost get more. Like some sort of chocolate or some sort of sweetness at the end more than I than the
like cocoa
the
powder. First one.
Yeah,
I agree.
Like dark baker's chocolate.
There you go, Nux.
Yeah, I get that even at the very end of it.
I'm even getting like a little bit of like spice, like you would put in like a spice cider or something like that. Like you know,
like some like almost nutmeg-ish.
Yeah, like a cinnamony nutmeg-ish kind of thing.
I agree with the cinnamon part.
I almost passed out. I'm just going to close my eyes and enjoy this.
We'll wake you when we're done.
Now the mouthfeel on this is much more creamier.
Yep.
It's going across the tongue from the tip of the tongue to the back of the throat.
It's less razor bladey.
Yep.
Yeah. Right?
So, well, we were talking about the youth of that 5 year, you know, and I was like, you know, it cuts it, you know.
Yeah.
But this one, you know, you still have some of those same characteristics. It's just much better.
It's more defined.
Like it's easier, more palatable.
Absolutely.
And I think on the tongue, it lasts a lot longer. It kind of melts away on the back of your tongue.
Yeah, but it doesn't really burn.
No, it's a good melt.
Yeah, I think this is really good. Does anybody have any other flavor notes?
Oh, I was going to put a little water in it and try it again.
Oh, yeah. I forget about that.
Yeah, let's do that.
I personally don't think the water really adds much to it.
I think you're wrong. I think it,
and here's why.
There you go. I get a lot more floral.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I got more citrus and floral and define a little bit more of that medicinal flavor.
A cross between like roses and perfume like that your great grandma would sometimes wear.
Ruby.
Or Beverly. Yeah. Either one of them.
Yeah.
So something between there is where I'm saying is floral. So not off-putting. Like the perfume,
but you know it's there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Understand. It's interesting. It makes it interesting.
Yeah, there's a little more like caramel or butterscotch even comes out through the nose.
Yeah, and it's like it went from peat to like barbecue smoke. So the creosote kind of is higher than the actual peat flavor when you add a little bit of that water. But overall, this is fucking really great.
That's a banger.
Yeah. Ernie, why don't you start this one out? You haven't started one out yet.
Well, no, because this is only the second one. 4.25. I like this one.
Chris?
Yeah, 4.25.
Was there a price point on this bottle?
Well, let's do our numbers first, and then we'll talk about price. Mm.
That's Chris's thing.
We're rating the liquid, not the cost of the liquid.
I know that.
We can talk about it afterwards, but let's number shit.
You're right. Okay.
No, I yell at you.
I agree.
All the time about this.
With less alcohol content than the first one, which was on the cheaper side, it still gives you a really good amount of flavor. I would give this a 4 flat.
All right, Chris?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with about 4.25, which surprises me because I've had this before, and maybe it's I've drank a lot more scotch since I first tried it. The smoke isn't nearly as like overpowering as I expected it to be. So, yeah, I think, yeah, solid 4 probably.
Wait till later.
4.25? Or 4?
I'll go solid 4 on that one.
Okay. Ditto. I'll do the 4.
I think, looking at the price, I think this one, with only being $10 more than the first one, I think it's a very good. It's something you can, you know, relax, chill with the wife on the weekends, watch a couple of movies. It's something that, you know,
smoke one of those cigars.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Chris brought.
Yeah.
Bigger, and what do you got?
For the average. The average for Le Perroleg.
Look, I don't want to be direct, but this calculator is going up your ass tonight.
You don't just say all the letters in the fucking word and
that's
make
what
it,
I did already. You can't copy me.
Good Christ.
Oh, sorry. Is 4.10. So we're heading in the right direction.
Yes.
Next.
Well, why don't we take a quick break?
We can.
We gotta get our advertising sponsors in here. And we'll be back with the last two remaining scotches of the day.
Stay tuned.
And you're going to need to finish, figure out how to pronounce but I haven't had it again. This is way harder than Lafroig.
Lafroig. Yeah, this next one has a lot of
consonants in it. All right. Let's do it. All right, we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we might mention Bridgeview Liquors a lot around here, and there's a really good reason why. They pay for a lot of our booze. But one of the great things about them, not just the paying us in alcohol, is they truly seem to love what they do. They're knowledgeable as hell on almost every type of alcohol. Anytime I have questions, that's where I go. That's why I love Bridgeview Liquors.
And I know for a fact that they have knowledgeable staff because if you go back to our Brandies and Cognacs episode, Evan, their store manager, his store pick for Brandy's was the winner for the day. And I'm also impressed immensely with their huge selection of craft beers, not only locally, but as far away as 4 or 5 other states, which is more than an armful away.
Speaking of their knowledgeable staff, I found out that the word Gewurztraminer means a noble grape while at Bridgeview. It is basically a grown-up version of a Moscato. Bridgeview has a wide selection of local as well as really hard-to-find wines.
I like Gewurztraminer wines just because I like to say that word.
Dude.
And I'm German.
Gewurztraminer is about the funnest thing you can do with my mouth.
It is. And one of the fun things about Bridgeview that I like is that how regularly they post on social media the new beers and liquors they get in with pictures, because I'm a picture guy. I like to see the
not
beer.
Not much a reader, huh?
No. But Bridgeview has the picture, so I'm like, oh, that's the beer I'm looking for. I can look at the picture. I can go look for the can or the bottle and, you know, figure out, match them up and everything. And they do that weekly on all their new releases for that week. So it's kind of nice. I like that.
And you can find those social media posts on Instagram and Facebook at Bridgeview Liquor. And their website is bridgeviewliquors.com. And you can go to their location at 935 37th Avenue South in Moorhead.
And when you do go to their location at 935 something in Moorhead, if you mention Brews, Booze, and Reviews at the checkout, you save 10% off of all purchases.
10% off all purchases.
So 10% off all purchases.
Thanks once again for listening to our podcast. We love and appreciate all of our listeners, and we really love and appreciate you at Bridgeview Liquors.
10% off all purchases.
All purchases.
What would you like to eat tonight?
I don't know. What are you feeling?
You know, I could go for burgers or wings. I don't know, maybe even pizza. What are you thinking?
We just had pizza. I don't know.
That's what I'm asking you.
Well, maybe we should look online.
Is what?
It happens in nearly every home in America almost every day. At some point, someone asks, "What are we going to eat tonight?" Worry not. Fargo Takeout's artificial intelligence robotic chef, the Decisionator, is here to make the choices for you. You'll find its three top choices for takeout. If none of the three choices sounds good to you, just click the Nope, Try Again button. Even an artificial intelligence robot chef gets it wrong once in a while. The next time your relationship seems strained based upon what's to put on the table, turn to FargoTakeout.com/Decisionator. And remember, save a meal, save a marriage. FargoTakeout.com/Decisionator.
Oh, warm up, ready to go. All right, welcome back from our ad breaks, guys. Woo. Thank you so very much for sticking with us through that. Our third scotch for the day, Islay Scotch Day, is Buna Habane, right? Is that how you pronounce that?
Dude, you didn't look it up. I fucking...
No.
Buna Habane.
What?
Buna Habane.
Buna Habane?
Buna Habane.
Buna Habane.
Buna Habane.
Buna Habane.
Okay. Holy shit, that's such a weird fucking name.
Wow. A lot of N's.
All right. So this is a 46.3% ABV, unchill filtered. It's if you go to Bunahaven.
Like a V.
V?
V?
What?
Yeah, like a Victor.
.com. The 12-year-old Islay single malt scotch whiskey was the beginning of our Bunahaven range, launched to fanfare and praise alike. Taste the origins of
that place
with an alluring balance of sweet fruit, nuts, vanilla, and a delicate coastal influence. And by coastal influence, that means lots of salt.
So this is a little bit higher up in the island. The island is only like fucking like 15 by 20 miles or some shit. It's not very big, but this is in I believe a northern part of the islands. And so typically this, from what I've read, I've never tried this one before. It should be a little less on that peat side, though.
And as the original member of their current core range, Buna Habane 12-year-old holds a special place in their hearts. First launched in 1979, the Buna Habane 12-year-old has endured almost 40 years thanks to the passion and dedication of their distillery team, not to mention love and support from their fans and friends from around the world. The 12-year-old has set the tone and the benchmark for the rest of the range. Only the best will do. Double matured in ex-bourbon and ex-sherry casks, this whiskey, without an E, is beautifully rich and full-bodied, achieving the perfect balance of the characteristic nutty and sherry flavors of Buna Habane.
Also without an E.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
It smells very, very sweet.
So this one's... Yeah.
So sweet.
Oh, a little bit darker again than the rest of them.
A bit darker.
It's the sweet one.
Yay. And you do definitely get less peat, less smoke.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I agree with
100%. You can get some of that like winey, grapey characteristic.
I was
going to
say winey, yeah.
Yeah, so
I almost put like butterscotch or toffee kind of something in there sweet.
And some nuts.
I want to take a moment to
You smell those nuts, boys?
Peaty nuts.
Pinky nuts. Mm. Musty nuts. Kind of remind our listeners about the sherry, right? So sherry gives you that grapey, kind of fermented grapes, not like wine, but I mean, kind of is, yes, but it's a very different, funky flavor and with those grape notes in it.
I don't know. For me, it's giving me like a sweet graham cracker scent.
Hmm. That actually...
Very graham crackery.
Kind of makes sense.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, there's far less peat in the nose on this one.
Absolutely.
It's a little bit darker. I think it's the darkest one we've had so far.
Yep, it is.
Yes.
Not only is it more dark, but actually... takes on more of like an orange red color, probably because of the
orange
cask, I would think.
Agreed.
That makes sense.
Think that's from the sherry cask?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, it's got that orange tinge. That's cool. And the fucking legs are thick with three C's.
Mm. All right, we got the Q.
What do you get on the flavor, guys?
The flavor
is not very smoky with no E or peaty with no E at all.
No, it's not. It's deceiving, actually. You get that smoky
that would be
cracker.
That would be peaty.
Peaty.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking at their tasting notes, subtle is a very good description of the smoke.
Absolutely.
It's,
yeah.
It's there, but...
It's very background. It's not the star of the show.
Absolutely.
No. Surprisingly enough, this might be crawling right up there really quickly as one of my favorite scotches I've ever had. I like this one. Holy shit.
It's an interesting aftertaste. Burns it a little bit, but it's not, you know, it's smoky, but it's very sweet.
I think there's a little more alcohol burn, and it is 46 or something percent alcohol, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, 46.3, right?
Yeah, I agree with Jordan. I get more of that heat off this, and it kind of sticks around in the middle of your chest for a while. Yeah.
It kind of warms
your yeah. They call that
the cockles.
Yeah.
From the you said this would be like,
I just got done snow blowing for like 45 minutes outside when it's fucking cold in North Dakota, and I'm going to have some of this.
I just got a lot of wood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to warm you up.
I figured it.
Water actually, for me, brings out a little bit more of the medicinal flavor to it again. I get more sweetness, but then I also get that kind of medicinal iodine kick.
Yeah. I haven't had water yet, and I wanted to add that I almost get a little bit of like raspberry and strawberry.
Really?
In the middle of that. Slight bit of vanilla.
Like dried sweet fruits, kind of?
Yeah, like fruit roll-up or fruit by the foot or fruit leather kind of thing.
It's vanilla for me.
Yeah, this one just, yeah, even with water, it's still hotter.
Yep. What are you thinking, Ernie, with the water?
It cuts the heat down a little bit. Brings out more, almost like more of a honey, which might be part of that graham cracker that you were talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something sweet like that.
Absolutely.
Could be, you know, type grapes they were using in the sherry casks. So many different kinds. You okay, Knox?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's holding his head in woe.
He's just amazed. But yeah, I like this. Unfortunately, I like it probably because it's not as smoky and peaty as...
Absolutely.
The grain on this is great. Listen, guys.
I think I do like it with water,
and ladies though. From Buna Havane. Your choice of malt is great. I like this one. I like it so much, I'm going to give it a 4.25.
I will... I like that. 4.50.
Chris?
4. I think it's right up there with Lafroy. I like them both for different reasons, but I don't know. This one's just... It's a little hotter. And yeah. So there. Suck that one.
Fuck boys. Jordan, what do you
got? I'm going to give it a 4.25. I think, it's a little bit hotter, but you get more of that flavor and that sweetness of that graham cracker scent I was talking about. It's very good. I like it a lot.
I'm very proud of you for coming up with that graham cracker. No, thanks, buddy.
I would have to agree with Jordan.
And Mr. Chris.
I think I'm glad I gave myself some room to give this one a 4.25.
Absolutely.
Because I think it is better for me than the Lafroy.
Absolutely.
I enjoy the sherry notes.
All right,
my calculations are perfect this time.
And they are bigger?
4.25 for the Buhana Bang.
Well deserved.
Bond.
Well deserved.
Buhana Haba.
Budaven.
Single malt, small batch, 12 year old. 4.25. Well, I see a trend here going. Started with a 3.6.
And now we go to my favorite scotch of all time. So far,
and by the way, that
so far
the Bunavin was like $65, I think.
And then we jump up to about twice that much with this next scotch, and this is the Lagavulin 16 year. Now, amazingly enough, this is really hard to find, but if you go to malts.com, that's where their website is for the Lagavulin. It says it's a 43% ABV. That price is absolutely ridiculous. It's not true.
You don't.
That's in euros, I think.
Yeah, you don't know how to do that fucking
that transition between dollars and euros. No. Okay, so revered by connoisseurs and experts, Lagavulin is known as the king of the Islay. It's an essential Scotch whiskey, without an E, that any connoisseur or enthusiast must have in their collection. One of the world's favorite malt whiskeys. Aged in oak casks for at least 16 years, this much sought after single malt has the massive peat smoke flavor that's typical of Southern Islay, while also offering richness and a dryness that turns it into a truly interesting dram. The Lagavulin 16-year-old has become a benchmark Islay dram from the Lagavulin Distillery, a gift for all occasions for lovers of peaty and powerful whiskies.
Yeah.
Yeah, just looking at this, I mean, the color is probably twice as dark as the last one that
absolutely.
We had.
Absolutely.
Yeah. By far the most.
I don't know about twice as dark, but it is dark.
It's definitely got that copper color to it.
Twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So our listeners may have heard of Lagavulin before, because in episode 131, Game of Throats Part 2, the House of Lannister actually won that
I think that episode. Was a 9-year.
Now, while we're drinking this, I just want to mention, every year at Christmas, if you're looking for a great fireplace video to watch, you can find a video of Nick Offerman drinking Lagavulin 16 on loop for like 3 hours straight.
Yeah.
He just sits there by a fire.
Yeah.
They have a long one, I think, that you can watch where he just...
He literally just... It's him sitting in a chair... Just sipping on scotch.
Is he next to a fireplace?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Oh.
Yeah. Big leather chair. And he just sits there.
So if you're looking for a new fireplace video for this Christmas, I recommend that one.
Yeah.
Probably with a glass of Lagavulin 16.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, or the Lagavulin 11-year Nick Offerman edition.
Oh, that's right. He has his own special edition,
though. That's right.
So much.
And they just released the Nick Offerman aged in... Guinness cask.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
This smells very sweet. Very sweet, but it also hits that those nostrils a little bit more than the last one.
See, definitely more I think this smoke is, and peat than the,
yep,
the last one.
Absolutely.
I agree with you.
It's just like a really nice...
It is.
Peat. It's a really nice smoke, and there's...
It's subtle.
I don't know. There's... It's like a warm fucking blanket. Yes. I don't know how to really describe it. Smell, the nose on the Lagavulin 16 is one of my favorite things in the fucking world.
Listen, the malt on this one is unprecedented. The malt is fucking top notch.
It's fucking sea breeze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seaweed even too. You get that greeny like seaweed flavor.
Yeah.
In my all the best favorite, possible ways.
My second favorite part about sushi is the seaweed.
I don't want to drink it. I just want to smell it.
I know. I could live inside of this just nosing all day.
This we got this one from Bridgeview for 107?
100 and, yeah, it's usually 100, 110.
That price is definitely justifiable just by the smell.
Yeah. It's not really rare, but it's expensive enough where...
You can typically find it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it'll have to wait a day, but, you know, you can usually find it on the shelves.
Good.
I want to hold it in my fucking arms.
Like, the smoke just, it doesn't
hit you in the face.
It's not overpowering.
Yeah, it doesn't punch you in the face.
No.
It kind of rubs your face harder and harder after every second. Be like, this is why... I am smoke.
It doesn't taste choke me. You even if you wanted it to.
Yeah. Exactly.
But to go back to what Jordan first picked out of it, it throughout all of it is sweetness. Like you get a great amount of sweetness.
You
and
do.
That's why I'm like
vanilla and honey but, all the way through, but you still get all of that.
But like, absolutely. It's not the sweetness that you get from Glenmorangie.
No.
Right?
No.
You know, that stuff is almost syrupy in comparison. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this beautiful underlying sweetness of caramel and butterscotch and a little bit of vanilla, but it's all kind of
I'm here. And this is definitely get more wood than absolutely. Any of the other ones.
But it's a good type, you know? The sweetness and the smokiness is a good duo for this beverage.
Extremely well balanced. I mean, this is probably my favorite scotch of all.
Yeah.
Bigger.
I was just going to say, I think that peat, that smokiness actually complements the sweetness that you get, but yet you still know it's there right on the top of my tongue. It's kind of numb, the sides of my mouth. But this is 43%. So it's, you know, it's not harsh at all.
No.
It does have that minty or eucalyptus.
It does.
That thing going on where your tongue
eucalyptus
just like numbs up a little bit.
But everything balances so well, complements each other so well. There's nothing like, bam, bam, pow, this is this, this is this. It's like, well, I can kind of taste this, kind of have another sip to kind of bring something else out, and I can kind of pinpoint the more you have, the more you can appreciate the different flavors you get. You
know, and it's, that, to me, I think is the true power of a really, really good scotch, because it's something that you want to sit down and enjoy over time. Like, say you're going to sit and sip a scotch for an hour, and you want it to taste a little different every time you go back.
Oh, yeah. It's layers upon layers unfolding in front of you.
Absolutely.
This is the first scotch that I had that had that caramel back flavoring to it.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's probably due to the aging of, you know, being 16 years, but...
Well, I think anytime you put anything in an oak barrel for that long, you're going to get a lot more vanilla and caramel flavors out of it. Absolutely.
And it dries nice.
It does.
And it makes you just, like, don't put the fucking glass down. Keep it in your hand. Keep it here, buddy.
I don't even want to add, I don't even want to added water to
I know, that's what I'm like. I don't think, I'm going to, but just to see what it's like, but.
I think it just brings out a little bit more of the sweetness. And
it does. It really does. You know, it's kind of like bundling your car insurance, you know, with your home insurance. Awesome. You get your car insurance, you get your home insurance, you got a boat. You know, same with this one. You get the smokiness, you get the flavor and the sweetness. It's a really good all-in-one package.
Yeah, it's top-notch. Top-notch
scotch. It is, honestly.
With that in mind, I'm going to give it it's a 5. It's a
perfect score, 5 out of 5.
I absolutely love it, and I will always have either the 16 or the 11 or something in my bar. I always have Lagavulin.
I agree. I'm going to give it a 5. You know, the flavors complement each other, and they're all there with one single sip. You don't get, it's not an overpowering sweetness or an overpowering smokiness. You get all of them at one time.
I almost there, but the reason I'm going to give it a 4.75 is because I've had the 25.
Oh,
no, fuck you.
I need to leave a little room for that, because that is phenomenal. But this is almost there.
Well, it's the best I've had, and I don't know anything better.
I don't either.
So I had to do 5.
I don't either.
It's 5? Incredible. It really is. 4.75 for me.
Absolutely. That's a good one.
Yep. Of course, getting a 5. Big Earn, what do you got?
Yeah, I don't know what... I mean, coming into this episode, I'm like, oh, fuck, this is going to suck. It's Chris trying to do to me. But damn, they've all been better than average. I really like this, so I'm gaming it a 5 as well.
So 4 people saying 5, 1 person saying 4.75. I'd say it's a
4.93.
4.95. Oh, damn, it's close.
So yeah, well done. So it's kind of funny. Well, not really, because Chris won't laugh at anything I say. So you had the youngins at the 5-year as 3.6, and the 10-year at 4.1, and then the 12-year at 4.25, and the 16-year at 4.95. So, yeah, so the Lagavulin is the winner of the day, 16-year, 4.95, damn near perfect.
Pretty sure that was going to be the winner.
Yeah. Well, was there a price point on this beverage?
About 100, 110.
Yeah.
But to me, it's so far above Lafroy 10 and Bonneville 12. It's justified money.
Justified price.
I mean, if you can't afford it, it's not something that you're going to drink all the time. Yeah. But definitely special occasions.
Sip it this and appreciate it and enjoy it.
Celebrate with this.
Yeah, you know? I don't come home and pour a glass of Lagavulin 16 every day after work. It's usually a Laphroaig or Ardbeg or whatever, something in that $50 to $60 range or lower. Yeah. But that fucking one day a week, cocksuckers are all up in my grill. Lagavulin time.
Yep.
And I even have to tell Keelan, I'm going down to drink scotch. Leave me alone for about an hour.
Absolutely. Yeah. Your salesman up. The secretary flirted with you. You're having a good one.
So we're doing this as a Father's Day episode. I think if you really, really want to give your father something really special, that would be the bottle that you want to buy.
100%.
This is the bottle that you buy to celebrate Father's Day, to celebrate a birth, to celebrate a wedding. You know, this is that kind of thing. You pull it out on those special occasions and everybody lights up.
And it's not the most expensive either.
It's not super rare, so you're not paying for the rarity of it, but
you're paying for the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
This one is this is one of those things where it's not hype. It's just true.
Well deserved.
Yeah. That 100, because sometimes you pay $100, like Glenmorangie, I'll pick on a little bit. The Tale of Cake and it's $110 or whatever as well. Is it that much better than Glenmorangie original? It's better. I like it.
A little bit of that pineapple-y flavor.
But is it?
Yeah.
Is it that much better?
Yeah. It's, you know, yeah. You're paying for rarity.
You're paying because special. Yeah. It's a tale of cake. They do it once a year. Yep. You know, it's a limited release, so you're paying for extra money in the packaging and all that shit as well.
Absolutely. But
this is justified juice here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is for real. This is the real shit. All right, Jordan, my son, what do you think about the podcast? What do you think of it? This is what your dad's been doing for a hobby for the past 2.5 years now. What do you think?
It's very hobby. Good to talk to responsible alcoholics, you know, on a Sunday, you know, on a Sunday afternoon. It's it's fun. It's good to talk about liquor. It's good to, you know, have people that have the same sense of humor as me.
He is wearing one of our shirts. He's,
yeah.
Apparently, he's worn it so much the sleeves fell off.
They did. Yes. I'm 138 pounds, so I'm actually very surprised that I've, you know, gone through this far.
That you fit in adult clothes?
You held your own.
You're what? 135?
138.
138. I was 138 pounds once.
My wife is more.
Fourth grade? Yeah.
Fuck you.
I've weighed the same since middle school. No, my wife weighs more than me. Regardless. No, it's good to, you know, hang out with my old man. You know, with being an adult, it's kind of tough to find a time to, you know, see your parents every now and then, but
Work. I mean, you're working a lot of hours. 60 I'm working plus a lot hours a week. Yeah, dude.
But you know, hanging out with new people, you know, meeting new guys, and hanging out with the old man, it's good to, you know, spend the weekend the right way.
Why don't you give everybody all your tags, all your gamer information, any Instagrams?
You know, I don't stream that much anymore because I have a wife and a job. It's kind of hard to pursue that kind of shit.
But it used to be a competition, Call of Duty.
I used to play a lot of competitive Call of Duty with my boy Presley Seahawk. We played a lot of game battles, and we made a couple $100 on a couple of Call of Duty games. But if you guys ever want to watch my streams, I am Jacrispy.
J-U-H.
What is this, Scottish?
No E's, though. There's no E's in it.
The oral pronunciation.
Yeah. I used to be Mach Machine 69, but
before he was double digits, he was 69. What the fuck? So, it's J-U-H-K-R-I-S-P-Y.
Yes, sir.
He even has it on his car.
I do. Yeah.
So follow him on all the streaming acts. Instagram at...
It's your boy, Jacrispy.
Yeah.
Sounds so adult.
All right, Chris, what do you got? If anybody wants to get a hold of you or find out about what you're doing, social medias, anything?
I've got an Instagram, at Larson Christopher. I post a lot of my drink recipes on there from time to time.
What about the doggy Charlie?
That's mainly what it is. I try not to get into the drama of the social media. Yeah. So I'm trying to post a lot of garden pictures and pictures of my dog and pictures of the drinks that I make. So
and Charlie's
and you make
really
some
awesome.
Killer fucking cocktails.
Yeah. Even mocktails because your wife is pregnant. Yeah. So you've been coming up with some non-alcoholic.
Yeah, that's been my thing this summer is with a pregnant wife, she really enjoys when I go to the efforts to make her a fresh mocktail that has no alcohol in it. She just loves it.
And we're talking fresh garden.
Fresh basil, fresh thyme, everything.
Yep, you got to have that stuff if you're going to make cocktails. Fresh ingredients is key.
That's what I tried. Keely was like, what should I plant in my garden? I'm like, it's your hobby.
Mental, you know, like, mental takeover,
but
man.
She kept on asking, and I went, well, okay, then I just want things that are I want cucumbers, mint, basil, thyme. I don't give a
little
fuck
rosemary.
About the
thyme.
Yep. Yeah. So, at Larson Christopher on Instagram. Yep.
I just followed him. You guys should do it as well.
Chris, what do you got for us? Because you got Squiggly Giglio.
I don't do shit except for talk in my sleep. And so if you go to my girlfriend's TikTok, Squiggly Giglio.
TikTok.
That's Squiggly.
Yeah, and then Giggly. Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
Squiggly Giglio.
TikTok.
She posts on her TikTok me snoring and talking in my sleep. And I'm not going to lie, the first time I watched it, I laughed. I remembered none of it.
Well, you were sleeping.
It's straight up sleeping. There's a couple where she's trying to show me what she's doing. And so my eyes open up, and I look, but there's nothing there.
Could you?
It's like when you time travel when you drink too much alcohol.
Dude, I'm fucking.
Didn't you just stream something with Ben last night?
We did. I guess.
You tried.
Yeah. Oh, we got shit canned and
good old guest number two.
We did. We filmed a few minutes for the Jazz Attic.
The Jazz Attic.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys came over to a bonfire last night in the backyard.
It was mostly just disdain on my face about every choice Ben made.
He keeps unbuttoning buttons, Ben. Dude, what's up with that?
Dude, he was like, do you mind if I record this? I'm like, yeah, whatever. And he hits record, and all of a sudden his shirt comes off. I'm like, what the fuck happened here? Like, I didn't know we were doing it for OnlyFans.
You got to ask for a cut, man. Make sure you get a cut. Right?
OnlyFans.
That's where all the money is these days.
Yeah, we should put up OnlyFans for the podcast.
Jesus, something else I got to do.
No! Just the same.
We'll all take our shirts off.
Just the same stuff you put on Patreon, just shirtless.
Gotcha. How about you, Big Aaron? Where can they find you?
Well, I just poured myself another glass of this Lagavulin. Mm-hmm. I'm going to enjoy this and eventually make my way across the street.
Excellent. Well, hey, I got to say thanks for tuning into today's episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews.
And happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Yes, sir.
And here's to, all you fathers out there hanging out with your kids.
Here's to most of the fathers out there.
Just like I am today, proud to be hanging out with my son, Jordan, who is going to get married August 21st.
Ooh, congrats.
Oh, shit,
man.
That's coming.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes, and actually, we got it. So our former guest host, Jade, who babysat the kids when they were younger, is going to be the DJ.
Yeah.
We finally nailed that down
she
this week.
She babysat me.
So Jay Foss, our old co-host of the podcast, is going to be the DJ, and I'm excited for it. So we want to thank you, our listeners, without whom this podcast could not happen. And to you, we say...
May your glasses be full and your spirits high. Cheers!
This has been a Predicate Productions episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews. For more information, head over to brewsboozeandreviews.com. Special thanks to our sponsors for supporting our podcast. You too can support our show by supporting them. We have merch for sale that you can purchase from our Shops tab on Facebook. We also have extra content that you can access by going to patreon.com/brewsboozeandreviews.